Citation. Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of VX-30994, Captain J.F. McNamara, M.C. Captain McNamara, formerly an auctioneer of Yarrawonga, Victoria, was a member of the 2nd 24th Battalion. He was killed by enemy action in the fierce fighting along the road of Wario in New Guinea. He died on December 8, 1943, exactly 1 year after Japan entered the war. After he died, his men paid him a tribute almost unique in the annals of war. By their actions, they wrote the most touching citation. Late in 1943, the Australian commander, General Wootton, ordered Australian infantry, supported by our tanks and artillery, to clear the Japanese from the Wario-Gusika Ridge. The enemy 20th Division, with strong artillery fire and support from the Japanese Air Force, was determined to stay. And so the fighting in the Australian advance along the Wario-Gusika Ridge was a savage, no-holds-barred chapter of the war in New Guinea.
Keep your head down there, Lofty. You might look better with your head gone, but I'd hate to have to share this foxhole with a dead'un.
Look after yourself, Pintsize. If you want to have a look out of this trench, you can climb up on my shoulders.
This'll do me, down the bottom of this hole.
The Nips are certainly belling it in, Tiny. They must know we're going to have a crack at that Pino Hill they're holding.
I don't know what they know. All I know is I'm not enjoying this shelling and mortaring they're giving us.
Listen.
Help, fellas!
Hear that?
Help!
Another one of our fellas been hit. This shelling's accurate. Getting some of our jokers, even though we put overhead cover on the trenches.
I wonder who it is, poor
Help
coot.
Me. Help me!
I'm going out for you.
Hold on. Look across there. Someone beat you to it. Who is it?
Sergeant Rubino, of course. He's been dashing out to help wounded men ever since this Jeff barrage opened. He's running across.
No! No, he can't! What's on, Lofty?
Sergeant Rubino. He's out there in the open. Look! He's pressing that wounded bloke out there in the open. Get into a trench, Rubino!
Undercover, man! No, he's putting a spit on that man's leg. Shells and mortar bombs bursting all around him. The shrapnel getting from the tree bursts.
Oh, what a shame. Waste of a good man. No. He's fixed the split, and he's lifting that wounded joker up. He's bringing him in, Tiny. Carrying the wounded joker in.
Sergeant P. Rubino, a Queensland cane cutter, was in charge of the stretcher bearers in that area, and throughout the Pugu campaign had gone to the assistance of wounded wherever they were lying. His consistent heroism won him the Distinguished Conduct Medal. Then, under cover of their heavy shelling, the Japanese attempted to forestall the Australian advance by infiltrating our position.
Down there, Lofty! To your right! Jet! See?
I see. I'll give him a burst.
That'll make them keep their heads down. Any more?
Can't see any. Look, up there. Up on the Potato's observation post.
Savy's up there, isn't he?
Was. The Japs have shifted their shelling right onto it. Cut down that big tree on top of the rocks.
And the Japs are going, Lofty. Look. See them doubling across there? They're heading for the weapon pit on the observation post.
But Savy's there, all right. I saw him pop his head up.
Wonder he's alive after that shelling on his position.
He's alive. He's more than alive. Look at him. Throwing grenades onto the Nips. Look at him. And up they go, Tiny. Up they go.
Private J.E. Savy, another Queenslander, won the military medal there that day. Although wounded, he removed the pins from grenades, waited for 2 seconds, then dropped them among the enemy who had crawled up beneath his position on the rocky observation post. The Japanese were determined to assault in strength.
Across there, Lofty! Across there!
Not letting up at all.
It's been going on since 6 o'clock this morning, and they're still coming at us.
Hold on, Lofty. Hold on. They're ours, Lofty boy. Those shells are coming from behind us. They're ours. Our own artie's turning on a counter bombardment. Next thing, our Matildas will be up in support, and we'll see who's pissing it out.
The 2nd 12th Field Regiment bombarded the enemy then with 2,360 shells. Four Matilda tanks advanced through the Kunai grass, and the Australian infantry rose and cleared the enemy from their well-entrenched positions in that part of the Wario-Gusika advance. But the enemy was not giving up easily. Stubbornly, he dug down again and prepared to die.
Jets copying it ahead, Tiny.
Yeah, they'll still be full of fight when we get to them. Look at our fighters go down there. Pour it into them, younger.
Eyes off the air. We're moving again. Heading up this crest. Come on.
Down, Lofty. Down, Jets.
Where, Tiny?
Ahead. Four of them. Walking down this track towards us. Darn it. Jumped into trenches. Come on. Section leaders calling us up. Those Japs outsmarted us. Open fire on us. Ambushed us.
Section commander's down. Dead, I think. But Famous is getting up. Getting up with his friend. Come on, Tiny. Famous is leading.
Come on, you Famous. Oh, what a beauty. A little butler. He's spraying that Jap machine gun pit. Oh, man, this will keep those Japs.
So the savage fighting continued. Private B.A. Bemis of West Australia won the DCM when he wiped out Japanese machine gun nests blocking the Australian advance. In constant contest with the enemy, the Australians fought their way on the Wario-Gusika advance until approaching December 8th. The men led by Captain McNamara were in the vicinity of the objective, Wario. In pursuit of the enemy, Captain McNamara led his men into Japanese-held territory.
Quiet all of a sudden, Lofty.
Yeah. Too quiet, I reckon.
Captain McNamara! He's down!
Captain McNamara, who had won the Military Cross for heroism, was killed in that ambush. The official war historian has recorded that the death of Captain McNamara, who had become a legend in the battalion, cast a cloud over the closing stages of the campaign. The historian added, "He was typical of the superb young leaders who flourished in the Australian Army at this time. Their natural courage, leadership and vigor, tempered now with experience and skill, played no small part in making Australia's Jungle Army such a formidable fighting organization." Like others of his kind, McNamara was a born leader and a man of kindness, courage and riotous good humor who inspired his men to attempt seemingly impossible tasks by his own personal example. So wrote the official war historian of that soldier who died there. Lieutenant I.C. Halliday took command then, and they brought in the wounded and the body of two dead, one being the body of Captain McNamara. When they brought their dead leader back, they found that most of his equipment and his big boots had been removed by the Japanese. Like all his clothing issue, his boots had to be specially made, for Captain McNamara was a giant in physique as well as moral courage. Then, by their actions, the Australian jungle fighters wrote one of the most touching citations in the history of the Australian Army.
They brought Big Mac's body back. But you saw, didn't you, Tiny?
Yes. So did the rest of the boys. His big boots were missing.
You know what he always said.
Sure. Everyone in his company knew what he wanted. He wanted to be buried with his boots on.
That was what he wanted, all right.
What are we waiting for?
You reckon we can go out there sort of unofficially?
What do you say, fellas?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Everyone's for it.
A lot of Japs out there. One of them may be big enough to wear Big Mac's boots, but I doubt it.
If one's wearing them, all the more reason for us to go out and get them. Come on. Quiet, though. This is strictly unofficial. Come on, fellas. Up ahead. That was where they ambushed the party.
So it can be anywhere from here on. And don't forget, fellas, this is not a fighting patrol.
Just a recovery patrol.
Yeah. So bayonets instead of the rifle or Bren.
Except if the Japs look like getting on top.
But never forget our objective.
Big Mac's boots.
That was their citation. That was the last tribute his men could pay him. The unofficial patrol went out into enemy territory because their former leader had expressed the wish to be buried with his boots. Silently they went until they came to the enemy. Silently at dawn they returned and placed the boots on the grave of their company commander. Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is recorded by Amalgamated Wireless Australasia Limited for Army Public Relations and produced by Donald Crosby. We'll be right back.